Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from the shadow of the sky wheel in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. It's always good to be here on Wednesday nights with my buddies, and we got a lot of cool things to share with you tonight. The boardwalk is packed. Elvis is playing. I mean, we got a great Elvis impersonator down here. We have several, so we're very fortunate. That's one of the great things Myrtle Beach has to offer, besides hotels and fried food. People don't like what I say, but that's all right. It's good. It's been a great week. Very, very interesting. I would like to welcome our board runner, the guy that's making this happen in beautiful sunny Jacksonville, North Carolina, Dave Atwell. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing outstanding, like Todd always does every week. You say beautiful and sunny. I'm going to leave it at sunny. I don't know if I want to overrate Jacksonville too much. You're in the beautiful side of town, Dr. John.
I like Jacksonville. There are a lot of great people up there. There really are.
We're homely.
Well, you guys are just great. Now, you really are. Now, I can't say you guys because at the Democratic Socialist National Convention, they don't want us to use the phrase you guys to talk about people, even if it's all men. So you people, we call you people, or you comrades in arms, or comrades,
but,
or whatever.
But I am a guy. Is it okay to be a guy?
I am too. Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know. Better be careful.
So I can't be a guy anymore.
But, well, apparently, God forbid if you're a guy's guy.
Okay, but I stood up to take a pee earlier. Did I mess something up?
No. You got an A.
Okay.
So that's great.
Okay,
we're glad you're having glad you're having a good time up there in sunny Jacksonville, and looking forward to getting this. We're going to be announcing, hopefully, next week the actual date for the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con, which will be one of North Carolina's finest in its third year. Hard to believe Jacksonville, NCComicCon.com will be hitting its third year, and it's going to be grand. So we're looking forward to being there with all of our friends, and it's going to be fun. And, of course, Mr. Outstanding Supernatural himself, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I was going to say outstanding and supernatural, but you guys have been beating that one up. Well, I'll tell you this much. The weather is here. Wish you were beautiful. It's great to be here. It's been great. We've been doing some out playing with some risk management framework training this week. And, it's a trip. So, you know, a little more time out of the office. But start the day in the office and finish the day in the office. So wedge in 8 hours training in between, and that's the way we rock and roll.
Well, that's great. I'm glad things are going well for you up there. I wanted to start off and share a couple of things that are very important here and dear to me. First of all, Cherokee Comic-Con is going to be happening August 23rd through 25th. In beautiful Cherokee. Now, it is beautiful up there, Cherokee, North Carolina, at the fairgrounds. And we are officially able to announce two incredible, incredible guests. Well, actually, three incredible guests. First of all, he played Cousin Oliver on The Brady Bunch. He was the voice of Michelangelo in the first three Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, ladies and gentlemen. And he's done over 200 anime voiceovers. Ladies and gentlemen, Robbie Rist is going to be one of our three featured guests at the Cherokee Comic-Con. So we're very pleased to have him. We're going to try to grab him and get him on Pop Culture Stars either next week or the week after. We'll have a lot of people. He's got a boatload of folks on Facebook and such a nice guy. I've gotten to talk to him and know him some, so we're really looking forward to having Robbie Rist with us. Just remember, I'm happy because he played Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. I love the Brady Bunch. Then, of course, we have got Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. He will be there in all of his grandeur as one of the finest wrestlers that ever walked the face of the earth with all of his great stories. And it's just always fun to see him and Dorothy having a great time. Then comes, and I'm pleased to announce, Travis Walton, the world's King Kong UFO abductee. And out of his book, In fact, you can hear the helicopter right above me. Maybe it's the men in black. I don't know. Or the people in black. I guess they have to be the people in black now. Then we're going to have Travis Walton, and he will be there. The movie about his life is called Fire in the Sky. He's a super popular speaker at paranormal conferences and Comic Cons all over the country. He just was a keynote speaker at the big Roswell Alien UFO conference. So, I mean, we're just so pleased to have Travis Walton coming over here, and going to have a great time with him. He's going to be bringing his books, his DVDs, and you can just come meet and talk to Travis Walton. So, Dave, I know you especially want to talk to him about alien abductions. Am I right?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, you know it's going to be out of this world.
Well, it is, Todd. Very good. I'm proud of you. That joke's better than any jokes I make. I'll tell you that. Awesome. And then I do want to announce, I'm very pleased to announce, that my first new book in 2 years, I have updated, of course, Bigfoot Explorers, and that will be, the new edition will be coming out in 3 weeks. But today, look, Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies came out on Amazon. Today it's a Kindle book. Tomorrow will be also a paperback. And all you have to do is look up my name, John Stamey, and it comes right up there. Already sold several copies, just with one little announcement on Scarycast on Facebook. So people are liking it. I've had some nice emails, nice calls about it, and people are excited, and I'm excited too. It's got a great bunch of stories about the real scientific approach to some of the anomalies that we have, like the Mandela effect and ghosts, and I hope everybody will enjoy it. Dave Atwell, first of all, I have a big thanks to all our podcast buddies, including Liz Brackett, and including Dave Atwell, and including Todd Saxon. Thanks for your inspiration over all these years to help make that possible. I want to thank Dave for a grand editing job. I really appreciate that. So it's like kind of a group project with me and my friends, but it's out. It's here, so just search for John Stamey. The book is Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. And I think after some more promotion tomorrow and the next day, we're going to start really moving a few out there. I hope we can get folks enjoying this book, and I'll have it for sale up at the Cherokee Comic-Con. You buy an autographed copy, you can do a selfie with me. I'll be one of the speakers talking about a couple of my favorite stories from the book. So I'm just really, really excited about it. And, of course, I couldn't do it without my friends, my podcast buddies especially. And I got to thank all you that are here and all of you that are on a hall pass for tonight. It's been wonderful. So that's my contribution, because they are screaming for me up there at the caricature stand. And I got to thank my buddies for keeping this thing alive and kicking. I'll be back full time the week after Labor Day, Wednesday night, and we'll have us a special guest, and we'll have us a special 2-hour pop culture stars. It'll be a blast. So I want to say thanks to you guys that are here, and those of you on Hall Pass, for everything you've done for me and to kind of get us where we are, running great Comic Cons, getting some books out. And Todd, thank you for being outstanding supernatural, because you are. And Dave, thank you for running aboard for us this summer. I really appreciate it. And so I will say au revoir. I will be French tonight. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that, but that's okay. That's okay. You guys are the best. So I'll say sayonara. I'll say arrivederci.
All right, Dr. John.
But
hey,
you know what I'll
big
say?
Big hugs, brother.
The way we say it in the South, I'm going to say bye.
All right. Have a good night, buddy. We'll see you soon. Safe travel.
Take care, mate. Oh, man.
So before we get too deep into a ad lib situation, I got to share with you this article that I'm reading while Dr. John was speaking on his book, that there is a man under investigation right now as we speak at Yellowstone National Park. They got a picture of this guy. They got a boardwalk.
Tell me it ain't a picnic basket thing.
Close. a bison walked up to the boardwalk and he pet this thing. So here's the lick, is that not only did you pet a 1,500 to 2,000 pound buffalo, but to find out that it's actually illegal to do so, I mean, how would you like to be the guy sitting in jail and sooner or later somebody's going to hit him with that question? What you in for, dog?
What are you here for?
Well, I was petting
a buffalo. I've never heard that euphemism before. What does that really mean? No.
That means like,
I was petting a buffalo.
Yeah. It means I burned an orphanage. I pet a buffalo. That's what we call it on my side. Holy Jesus, man. And it says in here, oddly enough, in the event you're ever in this situation, Todd.
Well, wait a minute. Petting a buffalo in public.
Yeah. And you might not be aware of these regulations that are in place. And that's why I want to put it out there for the listening public, in case anybody just happens to trip through Yellowstone and not aware of these statutes. But a tourist must remain at least 25 yards away from a large animals such as bison, elk, bighorn sheep, deer, moose, and coyotes, and at least 100 yards away from bears and wolves. So, dare I say this, if you ain't got enough common sense to do that in the first place, make sure you carry some type of yardstick or tape measure with you to the park. So that way you can walk up to the moose and say, hey, don't mind me. I just want to make sure I'm far enough away from you and get 25 yards away from his hoof. Ask him to step on the end of the tape measure.
Here we go. Watch something that'll be sure to get us all in trouble. Well, you know, for the people that are doing all the freaking, man, what are the guys out there? They have all the laser pointers for measuring things and all that now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so just you point those things at it to make sure you're far enough away. Measure the distance with one of those. I'm sure that would go over real well. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, yeah. And the picture has the guy standing right a foot away from the buffalo, from the bison, and he's got a crowd of people around him. And witnesses are saying that they were all telling him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And, wow.
Weren't they all also in violation of the distance statute?
Yes. That is a very good point, despite the fact that they didn't touch the buffalo. They were violating the 25-yard limit. Apparently none of them brought their tape measures either. And, yeah, very good point. So I think we need to have a shakedown.
There are pictures of all those people there. So they just randomly picked one person to make an example of.
Yeah. I think there needs to be a police raid at Yellowstone right now as we speak. So, yeah. What a way to start off the show, huh?
Do not pet your bison in public on government land.
Yeah, and that's just not something your mom tells you when you're by yourself in the bathroom. That's a legitimate thing.
You're and apparently not in front of other people.
Yes.
Yeah. Good grief.
If you got enough calls, to me, good for you, but yeah.
I mean, I get where they tell people that for safety and stuff like that, but let me tell you, honestly, I don't think 25 yards is enough of a head start on a freaking buffalo that just got stung by a gnat. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That thing
decides to
take off, and yeah. No, I don't.
I mean, there's some things that can't be taught You know what I mean? And, yeah, don't pet your buffalo.
You know what? Dave, we may have to, I could go over to the laptop and we could do it. The, this is a little bit about like some of the stupid laws that are on the books in different places. You know, laws that are just still there from whenever, as well as, God, we could do a whole show on the, what did they used to call it? Where people would do the Darwin Awards. Darwin Award.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't too long ago that Dale and I were out there enjoying a cigar and a cold drink out there at the marina, and people were watching an alligator swimming around the boat slip. On the other side of the boat slip, there was two kids splashing around the water, having a good time, and their parents were sitting in earshot of us, and people were saying, hey, there's an alligator over there, and the parents were like, yeah, they see him. They know he's over there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the alligator always is out here, yada, yada, yada. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself two things. Number one, you don't have
Darwin
to be
was
an
wrong
alligator.
Like a Darwin yeah. was wrong, I'm just saying.
Because alligators rarely attack from above. You know what I mean? Second off, I thought I had a pretty nifty front row seat to seeing a couple people get mauled by an alligator. So, I mean, I was patiently waiting for the inevitable to happen. Unfortunately, I never got it. And we eventually had to go home and didn't, you know, get the treat of seeing a couple people getting, you know, gnawed off and carried to parts unknown by a gator. But, yeah, I mean, it's another one of those things that, you know, how dumb, and I don't care what the word, you know, you could attach the word brazen to it, you know, where they feel like they're invincible or something. But even then, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, and I, you know me, I'm a sucker for the frontier stuff. I think bison's one of my favorite animals. I think they're great. I mean,
hold on. Well, I got a slide in here just since random thought. Since Liz is in Panama, I guess what you should have said was, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. In honor of Panamanian work. Yeah. But, I mean, for me to walk up and pet one, that isn't on my bucket list. I mean, it's. Yeah, it just doesn't make any logical sense to me to do. I for years looked at Siegfried and Roy and said, yeah, that's neat, that's cool, until one of those tigers has a bad day at work, or maybe one of those tigers isn't feeling real good, or maybe one of those tigers is menstruating, or whatever it takes to make a tiger upset that day, and you're in there with your hoops of fire and your little sequin outfit and everything, and that tiger says, you know what? I'm not feeling it today, cuz, and bite your arm off. Well, for years I said that, and everybody called me a ding-a-ling until it happened. And in the end, again, they are still animals. And, you know, even dogs and cats, for crying out loud, be it accidentally, will bite their owners from time to time. You know, sometimes on purpose, sometimes by accident, sometimes when they're hurting and you grab them the wrong way, they'll latch onto you. They immediately let go, but the reason why is because they're animals. So, you know, you're going to go pet a buffalo, a bison. There's not a big amount of study on the reaction of bison when petted on the head. I mean, or so you're trying to break new ground here and trying to, you know, it just, God, Jesus, how ignorant can people get? You know what I mean? It just mind-numbing.
Well, again, you said there was a whole crowd there. If that Buffalo decides to, that it was going to have to, you know, it wanted to go somewhere fast, it's going to go through that crowd.
Oh, easy.
And it ain't going to be like those comedies where, you know, something goes barreling through the crowd of people and you see them all flying up in the air and landing and everybody gets up and walks away okay and healthy. That's just not
That's
the way
like,
it works.
What's Pamplona with the running of the bulls, okay? If I was a local hospital, I would post a sign that says, we do not offer assistance and or treatment for any goring wounds, any bull-related wounds. I mean, if you're dumb enough to go out there and run with, you know, a couple dozen wild bulls running down the street, Jesus, dude, I mean, you know, how many times have you got to touch a hot stove before you figure it out, you know?
You know, and the amazing thing is how many people participate in that and travel how far and spend how much.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't skydiving.
Nah.
It ain't.
Yeah, I carry on about the shark attacks we have out here on the coast. It's, you know, people talk all the time about, oh, my God, you know, this shark bit this guy. And, you know, you're in the ocean. And whether it's 2 foot of ocean or 2 miles of ocean, it's the ocean. And there's an awful lot of odd animals that are floating around in it. But you're going to go on out there. And my rule used to always be never, you know, my mom used to always say, never get in water deeper than what you can see your feet. Once you can't see your feet, then you're in too deep. And, you know, you figure a 1,000-pound shark can float around in 3 foot of water. What's 3 foot of water? That's, what is that, waist deep? If that, thigh deep. And, you know, you keep hearing all these. Well, not long ago, there was that young lady and her mom that were doing that scuba thing in the Bahamas or whatever. And the daughter got attacked by a shark. So there it is in the news, and they're talking all this stuff. But then about a week later, it comes out in small print, of course, that the daughter and the mom had distanced themselves away from the diving group. So, number one, they're not divers. They're tourists diving. So they're not pros of what they're doing. They're out there just, you know, the shark is at his house. So they break away from the group. You know, mistake number one, and the shark is just doing what he does. Shark didn't go out of his way to, he's not a perpetrator, he's just being a shark. And if you ain't got enough sense, you know, the minute you stick your foot in the ocean, I don't care what ocean it is, the minute you stick your foot in it, the percentage of a shark attack goes way up. Why? Because that's where the sharks live. Do you have to worry about being attacked by a shark when you're walking in the woods? Probably not. Do you have to worry about being attacked by a shark when you're flying on a plane? Probably not. But when you're in the ocean and in capacity, yeah, you got it. So you got to be aware of your surroundings. And
shark,
yeah,
jellyfish.
I mean, they're just doing their job.
I don't know if you knew, but I did a fair bit of fair amount of scuba diving when I was in Japan. And there are a lot of other things out there. I never saw a shark. That ain't saying that one didn't see me or whatever. But there's other stuff out there. I learned that a particular type of coral is called a fire coral, and it will light you up.
Really?
I learned that the hard way, but I knew how to identify it forever after. The certain pretty shells that if they have the live critter in there will sting you and jack you up. Oh, no, they will. I mean, there's stuff that's just deadly. Deadly. But I've seen some amazingly beautiful stuff. I've seen lionfish that, you know, at the time, of course, you know, you swear they were like beach ball sized or whatever. Okay, they weren't. But, I mean, they're just pulled out open and, you know, full fan, just gorgeous. Hearing the parrotfish munching on the coral. And here's something a lot of people don't know. A lot of people, they love these places where they've got all these white sand beaches and stuff like that. You know, a lot of that stuff comes from the white sand is the bowel movements of parrotfish after they ate coral and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you're sitting on parrotfish people matter. Just thought I'd mention it. That'll ruin some people's beach time.
Yeah. So here's another one.
Scuba diving was about what was about the teamwork and yeah.
Yeah, it's not something you do alone. It's not something you do haphazard. You know, you've got to be. You know, you've got to have your garbage together when you're doing that, whether you're being a tourist or not a tourist. You know, you got to have your mess together.
No matter what you are, you want to, yeah, because there's just so much stuff out there. And,
here's another
smaller barracuda and hoping you don't see the bigger brother and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's being out somewhere and realizing, oh crap, that's a sea snake. Yeah, that ain't cool.
A sea snake can put you out.
We were out off of a particular beach one time. This true story, dude. And they had, when the tide would go out, there were a ton of these coral tidal pools, really cool stuff. It was love to be able to go and walk out and watch that stuff because, you know, there's just always neat stuff left in the tidal pools. Neat stuff, sometimes surprisingly large edible fish. It just you never know. And dude, tidal pool after tidal pool after tidal pool had the sea snakes. They're like, oh, yeah, you didn't know it's sea snake breeding season. Yeah, I think we'll stay away from the beach for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, let them have it. Let them do their snake egg laying or getting it on or whatever they got to do, and then they'll go on back to doing their stuff, and I can have the beach back. But, no, they can have it this week, you know?
Yeah.
Again, it's common sense. So... Here you go. Another article towards the bottom of this whole wedged in between articles about how Trump created all the mayhem in the world this day. Here's another one. And I'm reading here. A woman hiking on a remote section of the Appalachian Trail in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Okay, so imagine that. Woman hiking in the woods and the mountains when a bear dashed across the trail and knocked her over between continuing on. Okay, now, immediately when you read that first sentence, you go, oh, gosh. Now, first thing I said when I read that was, how in the hell did you not hear that bear coming? Because anything in the woods usually makes noise, be it a squirrel, a bird. You let a bird land in some leaves, you'd think Godzilla was walking in there, you know? Nevertheless, it said that the unidentified woman was wearing headphones at the time and had no advance warning of the approaching bear.
That's what I was going to rock and roll with, but yeah. There it
is. So down here, there is a Jordan Bowman of the Appalachian Trail Conservancy quoted as saying, situational awareness is one key component for safety on the Appalachian Trail. So anything that impairs one's ability to actively assess their immediate environment increases their chances of injury or getting lost. So, you know, and I'm one for it. I'll sit here at my dining room table with my earphones and my laptop, and I'll watch Netflix or listen to some wrestling podcast or sports news or whatever. And I do it more out of courtesy to my family because they might not want to listen to what I'm listening to. But nevertheless.
You mean in the safety of your own home?
Correct. Correct. But when you're out in the woods, man, you have got to have 360 vision when you're out in the woods. And how many times the Bigfoot conversation comes up, and I'm the first guy that says, you mean to tell me you walked out in the woods with no defensive items? You didn't go out there with an axe. You didn't go out there with a gun. You didn't go out there with a stick or a damn knife. You went out there with a pocket full of glow sticks and some camping gear, hoping to find a 9-foot Sasquatch. So those guys are right beside this lady who was wearing earphones in the woods. I mean, another one. That's right on up there with petting the bison. And, you know, you hear all the time about the fat shaming and all that, how people get on and social media and they run their mouth to celebrities about, you know, body shaming and, you know, what was it just here recently? Some celebrity let her daughter get her hair dyed and people were ranting and raving. They ought to take these people, this guy who pet the bison, this lady who wore earphones while hiking in the mountains, and they all put their face up. I mean, on every national feed, every news, be it CNN, Fox, left, right, liberal, conservative, and say, ladies and gentlemen, this person petted a vice. This person wore headphones in the woods while hiking. So perhaps folks wouldn't do it, not out of common sense, but out of being terrified of public ridicule. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, watching the people with the electric skateboards riding down the street trying to weave through traffic. And then somehow the really freaking sad part is somebody's going to want to give them sympathy. And then there's going to be a law where they're going to try to fix stupid. And it don't work because you can't fix stupid.
No, you can't. I mean, it's
not a chance.
Yeah. So, while I'm these were just two articles in my news feed. So, while we're chatting, I'm going to Google animal attacks animal attacks stupid humans. See what I can get.
Well, you're right.
Okay,
somebody might write the article like the animal stupid.
The first thing that popped on Google was a WashingtonExaminer.com article from June 11, 2017. And the headline is, "Why Do Animals Kill Humans?" Because said humans are idiots.
I bet you're going to see that whoever wrote that on the unemployment line to spite the truth because somebody got their feelings hurt.
Holy smokes, here's another one. Extremely dumb people get out of their car at Safari Park. Think twice before snapping wildlife selfies. All right, I got to look that one up.
I do have a side story on that, and I may or may not have told it before. So back in the day, I don't know if it still exists or not, Sandusky, in the area of Sandusky, Ohio, because it might have been Huron, whatever, somewhere around there. There was a one of those wildlife parks where you did the drive-through and stuff. And they told you about not trying to feed the stuff, things like that. And Dad had the window cracked because he was smoking a stogie. And it wasn't like it was wide open or anything. But I'll be damned if that ostrich didn't stick its head through that crack in the window, grab his cigar right out of Dad's mouth. Frickin' cigar ate his frickin' stogie, dude. true freaking story. Oh man,
that's rich. I'm watching these. I'm looking at the article, and of course they had two pictures. They had a group, and again a group of people taking a picture of a large black bear. And we have black bear here in North Carolina. I've seen them on occasion, not only in the woods, but, on the side of the road over the years, that kind of stuff, especially early morning type thing. But that, and there's a guy taking a selfie with a large longhorn sheep, the ram with the whole – the old spiral-shaped horns and everything. I'm reading this Newsweek article from last year as we speak here. It says, animal encounter turned deadly this week. Lions devoured three poachers who broke into a game reserve to hunt rhino. The lions only left the men's shoes, hunting equipment, a skull, and a bit of pelvis. How do you like that? Now, there's a way to check out.
Wait a minute.
So,
because there was a little more in there than I was ready to take in one shot. Try that again.
The lion ate three. The three poachers broke into the reserve to hunt rhino, but were attacked by lions. And the only thing that was found were shoes, hunting equipment, and a skull and a piece of pelvis.
Okay. Good
so that
go.
Was Golden Corral.
Because I thought you said something about Elvis, and I was like, wait, where the hell did that come in? Okay, much better. Pelvis, the hip bone. Okay, good to go. Woo! Because I was like, wait, what? Elvis? Huh? Okay,
all
I
right.
feel better.
So
okay,
here's,
so I didn't hear what
here's
I
another
heard.
Couple. Here's an elephant trampled a man who planned to hunt it in August of 2017. And then it says, months earlier, a notable South African big game hunter was killed by a falling elephant shot moments before by another hunter. No. So a guy shoots an elephant, and the elephant is yet to fall and die. But this guy is within steps of the elephant. So when the elephant finally does keel over, it lands on his nitwit and smushes him. Again, damn. I shouldn't laugh. It isn't funny. But then again, hey, see, I'm trying to see if there's any other, you know, because we've all heard the stories about people. As a matter of fact, it happened in Jacksonville, if you recall a little while back, where a lady was walking her dog and a gator came out of nowhere, out of one of the little various wetlands we have here in Jacksonville. And gator came up out of there and got hold of her dog. And I mean, it was one of those gigs where the gator come up, snapped the dog up, and bolted back to the pond. One of the damn things you can do about it. You know, those kind of things happen. You know, that is indeed an accident. Because it was in a neighborhood. Yeah, the gator was definitely, you know, not where it belonged. The lady was peacefully walking her dog, as she did many times before, and it just so happens, you know, lightning struck and it was bad luck. But when you stand next to a wounded, or better yet, let me define that. When you're standing next to a gunshot elephant, okay, you got to know the damn thing's going to fall, right? Or do you think it's going to die standing up? You know, it's, and if he's a famous big game hunter, he ought to be aware of that. I mean, for
you
God's think, sake.
That's all right. I decided to go ahead and pull up the, and I did hear this on the radio recently, Darwin Awards. So in 24th of May this year in Louisiana, Black Bayou Drawbridge, situated 6 miles south of Lake Charles, was closed for car traffic and open for a boat to pass through. For those that don't know drawbridges, that means that the, you know, it was lifted up. There was a big gap between one side of the bridge and the other. Apparently, that drawn drawbridge presented an irresistible challenge for two Texas men, aged 23 and 32, looking for fun on a Friday night. May their experiment be a warning to you, my friend. A witness observed the passenger emerge, push up the safety gate, climb back in the car. Then the Chevy Cruze backed up a short distance and accelerated up the drawbridge ramp, up and over the edge. Splash. Just to hint, they make a reference to the Blues Brothers car vehicle. But I like this. You cannot last long when the road beats you in an IQ test. A Chevy Cruze, not to belittle the vehicle, but it was not their Camaro with max horsepower. It was not their Corvette. It was, you know, it wasn't.
And still,
unlike the Blues Brothers, they lacked cop tires, cop engine, cop suspension, and a mission from God. The Shoot the Gap tragedy happened at 2 a.m. Car sank from sight, and it was no easy task to locate. Louisiana State Police divers eventually located and lifted the vehicle with pontoons and recovered two drowned bodies from the bayou.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Someone suggested in some alternate titles, Flukes of Hazard.
That's wrong.
Hold my beer. Did somebody else chipped in? I hope the boat made it through okay. Yeah. Hollywood and alcohol. Here's one. They missed the boat in two ways.
That's so wrong. But,
and,
you know, in a way,
this might be my favorite. Physics always wins.
Yeah, I guess they saw it on a Rock movie. And because, you know, the Rock is always able to make these
Hollywood and alcohol.
Yeah. That's funny. I mean, it's not funny that people died, of course, but it's funny that they're getting roasted for doing something dumbass. You know what I mean? I think it rates it. Wow. That's funny. So I actually went over to YouTube and I'm looking at, you know, animal attack thing, and they're showing right now in one of these videos a guy walking in knee-deep water. And I don't know what, I think it's a crocodile. Yeah. Crocodile attack, knee deep water, attacked two friends late at night. So, there and again, and like I said, these things, you also got to understand too, that a lot of these animals do what at night? They sleep all day and they feed all night. That's where the term nocturnal comes from. And, you know, these things, you just got to use your head better. And like I said, accidents do happen. But man, if they've got things posted, I'll put it to you this way. Anywhere you go, every time you drive down a road and you see a speed limit sign or a caution sign, if you've ever been near a road sign at all, they don't look that big when you're driving. But if you've ever been like those street signs, the little green X-shaped street signs that tells you what street you're on, which one you're crossing, stand beside one of those things. They're heavier than hell, and they're huge. So you know they weren't made for free. You know somebody didn't run to Michael's, or somebody didn't print something off of their computer and hang it up. So if any place goes through the financial burden and logistical burden of having a large sign made and posted, not with scotch tape, not with a thumbtack, but something with, you know, riveted to a large steel post telling you not to do X, Y, or Z, you know, do the world a solid and pay heed to it. You know what I mean? And it just, you know, we talk about Steve Irwin, you know, and the stuff that he used to do. And I remember I used to watch him and I'm like, you know, the bad news is this guy is jump roping with a cobra. Sooner or later, something's going to happen to this guy. And I didn't wish it on him. Of course not. But like Siegfried and Roy, sooner or later, you know, you cannot roll the dice so many times without hitting snake eyes. Sooner or later, it might be one roll. It might be 1 million rolls. Sooner or later, you will hit two ones, just law of averages. So here's a guy who's, like I said, you know, jumping rope with cobras, you know, and he's telling all of us that one bite from the snake can drop a male, you know, a bull elephant. And I'm going, so why are you holding the damn thing? So anyhow, you know, when he tragically lost his life, what was it that did him in? A harmless stingray. And,
yeah,
you know, and
well,
here's
well, they ain't harmless, but yeah.
You know, this guy's a professional. That's what he does for a living. He's not some hack. He's not some goober. He's a guy who has done all the homework, done all the studying. I'm sure had massive amount of certifications and this, that, and the other. But still, and it wasn't the mean stuff that got him. You know what I mean? It wasn't the bad news stuff that got him. It wasn't some, you know, 800-pound alligator. It wasn't a gorilla. It wasn't a bear. You know, it wasn't a lion. It was a harmless, plant-eating stingray. And
They're carnivorous, by the way. They eat other fish and
like
all that.
Grill,
they do. They're same genus, different species. They're closely related to sharks and stuff like that. But yeah, they're not a shark. They're not major aggressive. They're
not predators.
Heavier duty scavengers, stuff like that.
Wow.
Yep.
Incredible.
I've caught many of them. Caught and released many of them. But let me tell you, I know how to step on the far end of the tail, get that thing pinned down, and find ways to sit there and get to use the tools. And other things I've done, sit there and make sure I put one pair of pliers, sit there and hold it, use more than one person. That pair of pliers back there at the base part of that has the spine sticking out, and wedge the tail down. I stood on one end of the tail, held the pliers there, and put another foot just around on the other side and let somebody else work the hook out of that thing's mouth just to keep it from being dangerous. Before we get over to our stuff, because we're down in the 8-minute range.
Yeah, man.
Garland Award, fun-loving, and I'll skip his name, last act was to pilot a golf cart towed by a garden hose behind a vehicle on State Highway 4 east of Angles Camp. That's in California. The golf cart swerved across a double yellow line and directly into the path of a Ford truck, causing a head-on collision that instantly killed the 28-year-old. He loved and hardworking,
wow,
left many friends behind when he drove himself out of his life. No reason for the garden hose golf cart adventure has been determined. Probably was intended as a harmless prank. So-and-so was loved by many. We bring his premature death to the attention of our readers as a cautionary tale, the silly prank gone too far. Be safe, folks. Do not cross the line, the double yellow line, when planning your out-of-the-box adventures. Dumbasses. All right.
With a hose.
Just dumbasses, boy. Independent entrepreneurs. I mentioned the training we're doing this week, so it's several blocks down and over from where I work, well within walking distance. Just roughly a mile or so. Not a real hard walk by any means. So we've been walking to and from, finding a lot of these different food joints, stuff like that. I beat up this one little place, Tammy's International Pizza. It's become a bit of a Packers backer type place. Pretty kind of cool that, you know, they're getting the support from them when the Packers come in, you know, when the Packers headshed is in town for like the combine and stuff like that. They're there. If they have to play, they're there. The guy has an invite to a Packers home game to sit up in the GM's box, stuff like that. It's pretty stinking cool. So an independent place. I tell you what, when I walk by a place and it says that they serve sausage, gravy, and biscuits all day, you know I'm already fond of them. that we, you know, I mean, so here's an independent guy. He's doing the stuff. They're out there doing it. And, you know, he's got a standing invite to the frickin' GM's frickin' little special box to watch the games in. You know, that's pretty stinking cool. Just, I don't know. It's, that's some pretty solid stuff. So yeah, God bless you. Those people out there doing it. Damn, we hit another place that, definitely has a ton of regulars, Lock Millers. So it would look like Low Millers. But you know, the, Scottish type name, Lock Miller. They just classic pub food, stuff like that. So that's some of the places. So I just want to, you know, acknowledge those independent folks out there doing it. All right, your turn, brother.
Yeah, and those places always seem the best because they actually care, because it's their asses on the line. You know, unlike the chain companies where, you know, oh, I'm going to call the corporate office. You actually think the corporate office is worried about how you feel? Nah, they ain't worried about it. But, you know, if it's an independent, privately owned, you best believe that everything they touch, everything they do, you know, when they hire people, they say, if you don't smile, you ain't working here. And it's because it's their hide on the line. You know what I mean? And that's what makes those places so special. So, yeah, good point, man. They those are always the best places to go to, whether you're drinking or eating or just trying to have a good time. It's those always seem to be the best.
Yep.
So my plug was going to go to our good brother-in-arms and colleague, Dr. John. Just want to plug his book, Look Up in the Sky. And I had the privilege to – read the book before he released it. And you know how I am, as skeptical as I am about the stuff. It's a very interesting book. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough to read it twice. So, yeah, it starts off very and the thing is that he's just not spouting off folklore. He's actually backing it up with not only facts, but he's actually using like mathematical and scientific facts and equations and everything else. So, you know, when you're reading the first little bit of it, it's pretty darn deep and makes you kind of just, you know, maybe he's got a point here. But it finishes off with stories and different experiences and everything, and I really enjoyed reading it. I thought he'd done an excellent job on it, and you know, I appreciate the opportunity to help him out with it. But yeah, in the event you get a chance to pick it up on Amazon or your Kindle or whatever it is, it's a you know, probably a 2-hour read, and very enjoyable, worth the look. So congratulations to Dr. John, and wish him all the best with the success of this book that he put out. So, yeah, with that being said, we got a minute left. The only other news I recall to pass on is that hopefully, thanks, British lady, hopefully next week we will be able to announce the date and location of the 3rd Jacksonville Comic Con coming here to Onslow County. And looking forward to putting that together with John. Should have quite a bit going into it. So, yeah, looking forward to being able to spread that news next week, hopefully. So, Todd, we got 30 seconds left. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, just the guy that jumped off something and kept moving. He jumped off a train into a water thing. He lived. Guy says, surely he deserves a Newton Award, a great video for physics teachers to demonstrate Newton's laws of motion.
Yeah, that's the old apple falling out of the tree and hitting you on the head, right? All right, guys, five seconds. Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Big hugs.
Pop culture stars. All right, Todd, good night, brother. We're going to shut this thing down, and I will talk to you as the crow flies.
Later, mate. Big hugs.
Take care, man.